From the heart of Big Ten country, Los Angeles, California, Ryan Abraham and David Woods present the Podcast of Champions.
Welcome, everyone, back to the Podcast of Champions. I'm David Woods from Bruin Report Online, the UCLA side on the 24/7 Sports Network.
Yeah, I'm not doing that one. So
you can, why not?
I'm not a good singer. Like,
hello. I'm not a good singer.
You're better than me. Hello, this is Ryan Abraham from USCFootball.com, the USC side on the 24/7 Sports Network. And together we make the Podcast of Champions, talking all things Big Ten football. David is talking about how excited he is to talk more Big Ten football. And this is a week of all Big Ten football. That's all we got.
Nothing but Big Ten action.
No Kent State. None of that. None of that malarkey. No.
No Akron.
No Akron. No Virginia Techs. None of that. It's all Big Ten.
That's right, baby.
We're excited. We got Cam in the chat. What's up, fellow degenerates? Yet another Duck fan. Hi there. What a great message he left in the chat. And Rich.
Roll call.
He wants a roll call.
And there was no roll call.
Yeah, where's the roll call? But if you're watching live on the YouTubes, we appreciate that. We were broadcasting live, and so that's how you're seeing it. And we're recording across all the different podcast platforms, as always, so you can download it wherever you would like. You can send us questions, because we like your questions. And
we love questions.
Yeah, BigTenCast@gmail.com. Call or text us, 424-532-0678 is the number to send a text, or leave us a voicemail. Some people still do that. And we love them when we get them. I don't think we have any new ones this week. Twitter or X at B1G Podcast. And I mentioned where you listen to the podcast. If you like Spotify, it's pretty popular. Go over to the show and leave a 5-star rating there on Spotify. You got an iPhone, you're listening on the Apple podcasting app. We have a little bit more for you to do. You have to leave a 5-star rating, but then also a review. It could be nice. We don't like those as much. Leave a 5-star review. Make it mean towards us. Tell us why we're terrible, because we would agree with you. And if the best one every week, thanks to our buddy John over at Trader Joe's, we'll send you a $17 Trader Joe's gift card. And I just got them in the mail. Oh, you want to read John's note?
Yes.
Yeah. So, John, thank you again.
This is
$17 because that's how many points UCLA scored against LSU.
Yeah. And John says, hi, Ryan. Here are the $17 gift cards for the POC. Thanks again for the mention. Please give my best to David. Peace, John.
Yeah.
John's he's a mensch. We love John. We have many new 5-star reviews.
Wow. So the bribery works.
Bribery works is the big takeaway.
It's like you're a dad. You've had your children for a while now.
I'm sure
there's like, hey, I need you to go brush your teeth, or I need you to do your homework.
Whatever. Bribery is definitely one of the tools in the toolbox.
I was going to say,
yeah,
that might work for one kid, not for another, or something. Bribery works for our listeners. Bribery works.
Mm-hmm.
We used to give away $50 like jockey gift cards, or 25. I forget what we had, but we had a variety of jockey gift cards. They kept sending them to us, so we could give to all you guys. We got a ton of reviews for that. $17. It was going to be $8 gift cards. But UCLA scored more points than expected. And so we got $17 gift cards. And now we can give them away.
Amazing. John's an amazing guy. All right. So let's begin here. This is Steven Schreck. POC, the best B10. This podcast is the perfect listen for anyone who loves the Pac-12. I mean Big Ten. Football. And of course, free gift cards. Seriously, who doesn't love free stuff? I stumbled upon these guys a few years ago, and it's like listening to a sitcom where the odd couple, a Bruin and a Trojan, somehow make it work. Their football takes are usually wrong, and Dave has this delightful habit of losing his mind whenever Ryan tries to update us all on what's happening in the actual football universe. Don't bring up spring games. As an SC fan, I appreciate Ryan's professionalism. But let's be honest, he vacations more than a politician during a government shutdown. My favorite part of the POC is Dave's epic self-loathing rants about his beloved Bruins and the goat Chip Kelly. For football discussion, sure, there are other podcasts out there, but if you're looking for in-depth analysis of patriotic hymns, Disney princesses, and the correct ranking of Star Wars movies, this is your one-stop shop. A must-listen every week, all year round, for your Big Ten football fix. Love it.
I love it. Yeah.
This is from Brian J 323, the POC. I look forward to it every week. Great listen. Fight on. There very nice. Very lovely. Not a contender. Oh, too nice. Too lovely.
Yeah.
But lovely. Love it. It's very kind.
Real quick, Avery in the chat said, can confirm I started listening and wrote a review for the Jockey gift card. So we picked up a listener for...
That's right, baby.
Back in the day. Thanks, yeah. Avery.
This is from Iron Cats SC. What have I been missing? I can't believe it took me this long to discover the Podcast of Champions with Ryan Abraham and David Woods.
I can't either.
As a longtime listener of Reign of Troy, I finally decided to give POC a try, and now I'm kicking myself for not tuning in sooner. These guys are simply the best at breaking down Big Ten games with sharp insights, expert analysis, and plenty of humor. Are we sure? Do you think he's writing about something else?
No, I think he's yeah, I like it.
You're sure? Okay.
Yeah.
Ryan and David's dynamic is incredibly entertaining. They bring the perfect mix of knowledge and banter that keeps me hooked every episode. Whether you're a diehard Big Ten fan or just love college football, this podcast is an absolute must-listen. Thankful to have added this gem to my weekly routine, it's become my go-to source for everything Big Ten. If you're not listening to the POC yet, you're missing out big time. That does not sound like us.
No.
But thank you.
That's very nice.
Very kind. All right, this is from Coach Herman. Elite podcast. Dave and Ryan have worked hard to make this podcast highly successful, like Iowa's offense. Dave does most of the work, like setting up the simulcast on YouTube and running the soundboard. A few years ago, he even created a popular and successful Reddit page for listeners to join. Ryan helps out occasionally when he's not in Vegas or Catalina Island. Love the show. Thanks for all that you do. 5 stars.
I like that one.
All right. So I think the contenders are Steven and this guy, Coach Herman.
Yeah. You want to go Steven, or which one do you think?
Mm.
We can do Coach Herman.
I think Coach Herman's my guy.
Okay. All right, Coach Herman, thank you for the review. If you send us an email, we will send you a Jockey gift card. So you need your put your name on it and your address, and David will hand deliver it to wherever you are in the
world. Should we do the top two this week?
Let's do the top two.
Yeah, let's do Steven. All right, Steven Shrek, you also get one. So send your address to Ryan.
Yeah. Do Ryan at USAFootball.com. That's easier. So just, yeah, because I don't check the POC email that often. So Ryan at USAFootball.com. Thank you guys for listening and for writing in and give us a nice review. And I will send you guys the gift card. I thought this could be a David task, but there's no way. He could never.
I will never send anything in the mail. So let me just give you. I claimed a check. You know how if you have like a missing check, you can go to like the state government website and
Do
occasionally a missing property search. Like do it every 5 years. It's worth doing. I have a State Farm reimbursement check. I got it from the administration of the state 2 months ago.
Okay.
It is still sitting on my desk. I just can't. It's not even like because it's a small enough check that I can literally just take a picture of it. And I still have not done it.
If you have mobile banking, you can just deposit.
I could just do it with my phone.
You don't have to go into the branch.
I know. I could just do it with my phone, and I'm still.
You have to like sign
the back. I still have not done it.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It is like free money, and you're just not doing it.
I mean, I will eventually.
Yet another.
Probably once it's like invalid or void.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yet another Duck fan. I'm wearing the underwear I bought with my Jockey gift cards right now. Absolute legends.
That's right, baby.
Picks or didn't happen. So.
Yeah, picks. But you do. So everyone, the assignment is clear now. Everyone understands reviews. Now, husband your resources. I would recommend you put them in when you feel the urge. But we're going to have at least several weeks of these.
Yes.
Because we have many gift cards. So, when the mood strikes.
Yeah.
When you're feeling good, put in a review.
Yeah, I think you should do that. And be strategic. Like, go read the reviews. I don't know how long they take to pop up. But if you read, like Shane leaves a really good one or something that's super funny, you're like, crap, I'm not going to win this week. Then maybe save it. Maybe save it for the following week.
So true. Well
said. Yeah. So you don't want to, like, don't go in against the, you don't want to play Ohio State if you can play Rutgers or whatever. So, although, I don't know, Rutgers this year is pretty good. We're going to do all the previews and stuff. Our picks last week were absolute garbage. I think I was 5-7. And David was 4-8, but we're going to bounce back this week with the Big Ten conference games. And if you want to get in on all the action, 8 games in the Big Ten this weekend, you can do that over at MyBookie. You can book on a bet on the first half, second half, the totals. You can do parlays if you want to put, you know, a little juice on three or four games that you like and see if you can come up and, you know, win eight times your money, things like that. That's a lot of fun to do. You can tease the spreads if you want to, like, try to get a little closer to a number that makes you feel comfortable. But, you know, we would like to do that a little bit. We're just picking straight money bets against the spread. We're straight against the spread in all of our games. You can follow along with our picks like I do through my MyBookie account. So you can go check it out. If you want to get in there and deposit money for the first time, you can use the promo code POC or PAC12 and get 100% bonus matching of your initial deposit. So say you put $100 in, it would turn into $200, and you'd have even more money to play with betting the Big Ten schedule or NFL or whatever you want to do. We got baseball coming to an end, playoffs coming up pretty soon. So a lot of stuff you can do over at MyBookie. So make sure you get on the action. Promo code POC for 100% bonus match. And you can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only at MyBookie.
That was beautiful.
Thanks.
You did such a good job. You should be so proud of yourself.
I'm not under the weather, but what's it
you're
called?
Hungover.
What's it called when you had too many drinks the night before?
Hungover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the tequila I had wasn't the best.
Oh, yeah. No, it was the quality of the tequila that was the problem. It wasn't the tequila. It was the quality of it.
Yeah, on a Wednesday, you should, you know, that's like...
Yeah, you should have the finest Wednesday tequilas.
Yes.
Yes. Famously.
Yeah, margaritas and stuff. Okay, so we got a preview. All of the Big Ten games coming up. I guess we could just jump right into it, Dave. Anything else? Oh, do you want to talk... hold on. Do you want to talk some... Bear?
I would.
Do you want to wait?
There's some there's some unbearable news out of downtown adjacent LA. Bear Alexander, or as we call him, Alexander the Mid, has decided he's going to redshirt this year at USC and then transfer, I'm assuming. So it was an upset here, actually, and I'm not gonna pick on a kid this much, but it was an upset that he lasted 2 years at USC, because I think since his ninth grade year of high school, he had been at a new school every single year.
Yeah.
So getting a year and a few games out of him was impressive. Don't you agree?
It was definitely a weird one. If you don't know, so Bear Alexander, former five-star defensive, he had a sack in the national championship game for Georgia. But, you know, Georgia's got that crazy good defensive line. He was more of a rotational guy. Transfers to USC. And it was a big sort of coup for the Trojans to get him. We thought he'd be one of the most important players on this defense because, you know.
I think you guys ranked him the most important player on the team.
Yeah, I think it was one or two. And turns out that I guess that's not the case. It was in the fall, in August, we go to a scrimmage that they let us watch, but we're not allowed to report on what's going on. Bear Alexander wasn't starting. He was like the second team guy, and they brought in a couple transfers, and Gavin Meyer's been great, but he was like a rotational guy at Wyoming. He's been awesome for USC so far. Nate Clifton was at Vanderbilt, put on 20 pounds, and he's like defensive tackle now. So they sort of had these makeshift tackles. And they were playing or whatever. They were ahead of Bear Alexander. And we were like watching the scrimmage like, what's going on? Now, Bear missed the spring with injuries and stuff. He did go into the portal or said he was going to go to the portal. They brought more NIL money to the table. He stayed. He wasn't starting like in fall camp. We're like, huh, he didn't start the first game. He didn't start any game so far. And then his handler, who I think maybe is part of the reason why he's been at a different school every year, was getting to it on Twitter. Some former USC players were getting into it with him on Twitter, like, get the hell out of here. You know, this is not about you and all this stuff. And so you had former players arguing with his handler. On Tuesday, we go to USC football practice. Lincoln Riley gets asked the question a couple times, and he was like, look, this is a non-story. This isn't a story. You know, you guys are trying to make it a story. The next day, he's not at practice. So yesterday, Wednesday, he's not at practice. My dude, Connor Morissette, shout out to him, breaks the news, gets a hold of his handler, finds out he's going to redshirt, puts it out there. So everyone's, Pete Thamel, everybody was retweeting him or following up with him. And they've all, you know, people confirmed it afterwards, but that Bear Alexander was going to redshirt, like similar to what the kid at UNLV was doing, the quarterback. So this was, we're going to hear from Lincoln Riley, like literally after the show. So for the, it's not a good look, I think, for Riley to be like, hey, this is a non-story, and the guy doesn't show up for practice the next day. But to be honest, like, I don't get, this is the thing I don't get, David. The USC defense.
Do you know why you don't get it? Because you don't have a trained eye.
Oh, that's true. This is a trained eye thing. The USC defense has been playing really well. Bear Alexander's been a good contributor. He's just not like the starter. He played 21 snaps against Michigan, but you know, he's come in and make some good plays. And it's more of a rotation. Like, that's what I saw during the fall camp scrimmage. It looked like it was just going to be a rotation. He's part of it. So his camp's unhappy. I'm sure they could have done some, well, you would think they've done something internally to sort of make this, you know, make this work out. He's got a really good defensive line coach that came over from the Rams that coached Aaron Donald, you know, like Eric Henderson. You'd think this would all work out for him, but it hasn't. And I think we're just going to see stuff like this in the NIL world. But that's sort of like my kind of recap. And I'd love to get your thoughts.
Well, I would love to know, and this is just like going forward, projecting ahead. Do you think that USC has the bare necessities on the defensive tackle rotation to continue going forward?
I mean, he's not the starter, mm-hmm. but he was a contributor. So now you're going to probably have a really young guy in that role that hasn't done it. Do you want like Gavin Meyer and Nate Clifton to have to play more? I think the rotation thing has worked. So that's going to be interesting to see. Like, you're not losing a starter, but you're losing someone that I felt, and someone that could have been, you know, a bigger contributor going forward. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, look, this stuff is going to happen, especially with guys who are not playing as much as they would have liked in this new world, obviously. And we'll see. I think over the next week, it'll probably pop up at a few more places, would be my guess, because a lot of teams are approaching their fourth games weekend, and if not this weekend, soon thereafter, they will. Once they play four games, they can't redshirt, or once they play five games, they can't redshirt anymore. So after this weekend, you could see some more announcements as well.
Mark says he was only doing the bare minimum this year.
Nice.
Colt says only guy with a worse work ethic than David Woods.
Yeah, things are looking a little grisly for USC up front, don't you think?
I know. Oh, Cam wants to know, did you guys go out to lunch yet? No, is today supposed to be our lunch day?
Yeah, but I don't think we can do it now because you've got Lincoln Riley.
At 11, it's like 15, 20 minutes. Mm. Okay, we'll do a different day.
We'll see.
Yeah, but we have our lunch
day. We will find a day. A day and a date.
We'll do that. Yeah, so that was sort of breaking news. We also had a comment from Chris in the chat, and Dave was talking about this. I didn't realize what was going on. A judge ordered that UCLA Jackie Robinson Stadium be padlocked and no longer be used. Mm-hmm. Is that like a thing? Like,
yeah. So this is irrelevant, I think, for most Big Ten fans. So we'll speed run through it. UCLA has long leased land from the Veterans Administration in Westwood adjacent. For their baseball stadium since like 1980, basically. It was ruled a misuse of land as, I mean, like 10 years ago, but UCLA just kind of, oh yeah, we'll continue to use it. And, and the judge kind of left it vague as like, okay, well, if UCLA can prove a use for the veterans, well, fast forward, they didn't. And the judge, a new judge, I think, has ruled on this. It's apparently a case between disabled veterans and the VA, basically saying the VA is misappropriating all this land for their own purposes, and it's not providing any use for the veterans, including Jackie Robinson Stadium. And the judge today, I guess, frustrated with the lack of progress from UCLA or anything, ordered the thing padlocked. So UCLA baseball may have to find a new place to play this spring and a new place to practice this offseason.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Problems in a big city campus. I didn't realize when you were telling me coming in, I didn't realize this was happening for like 10 years. So it wasn't like this happened overnight. It was basically
there's been enough warning signs that like a solution should have been figured out at some point in the last 11 years.
So I'm guessing like just like Ken keeps getting kicked down the road.
I would guess so. I mean, I think it's just classic bureaucracy stuff where, you know, you don't want to do anything and you're assuming they're another bureaucracy too, so they don't want to do anything. But judges are like mini kings. They can do what they want. The mini king here has decided that UCLA has to find a new place to play baseball.
Hey, by the way, Big Ten, this is the kind of shit that happens for schools in California, I guess.
Maybe not USC. It happens everywhere. It's just, yeah. You know.
But I mean, to have like Jackie Robinson Stadium, oh, we're going to shut it down. Like, could you imagine that happened in like Georgia or something? Like, no, they're not like whatever. Like,
I mean, I'm sure
the governor would step in and do something. Tony, so that's Bear Alexander's handler, trying to throw shade at Gavin Meyer on Twitter, but got his feelings, I guess, hurt maybe, when people showed Bear getting blasted off the line of scrimmage on the big Mullings run. Yeah, I mean, I think Bear's done some good things, and there's been some times where he looked like he took plays off.
All right, we don't need to spend any more time on USC's fourth string defensive tackle.
I love it. All right. So why don't we jump into these previews?
I would love to. Because I'm very interested in a few of these games.
I was told by somebody that there was they're all Saturday games until I pointed out that that was not the case.
Look, man.
There is a Friday game. There is one. Do you know that?
I'm aware now.
We have
Washington Huskies.
And they're on the road. I don't know if they're taking public transportation or just walking. However, they're going to
Rutgers Scarlet Knights.
Scarlet Knights.
5 p.m. on Big Fox on Friday. Washington traveling to Rutgers. Washington 3-1. Rutgers 3-0. Rutgers is a 2.5-point home favorite, which means if these two teams were on a neutral field, it would be either a pick 'em or Washington is a slight favorite.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really don't know, because underlying statistics would probably lean Washington in this game. If you go look at it, like their offensive success rate, they're like top 10. Defensive success rate, they're like top 15. Like they've been really good. But then you look at who they've played, and it's like the only good team they played was Washington State, and they lost.
Yes.
They handled Weber State 35-3. Handled Eastern Michigan 30-9 and handled Northwestern 24-5, but all of those are bad teams. Rutgers, their schedule hasn't been like, you know, they're not taking on world beaters, but they did just travel to Virginia Tech and beat them by 3.
Yeah. I think I'll play.
I think they're very similar team. Like, I think they're very like, not like they don't function the same way, but I think they're like similar from a quality standpoint. So then you're looking at like matchups, and it's, you know, Rutgers has a good rushing offense. Kind of so does Washington. You know, who has the better rush defense? Again, they're both kind of middling. So all that, they're only giving me 2.5. So I would typically take in a pick 'em, you know, the home team by 3. So I'm going to take Rutgers minus the 2.5. But I could see Washington going in there and winning on the road.
I was going to go with Rutgers, but now that you're taking it, I might shit. But no. So here's the thing. We saw my mind just works a certain way. Like, I saw Washington lose to the Cougs.
When you had them covering.
Yeah. No, I got that one right, right?
Did you? I don't know.
I think I got.
I don't know. It's in the past.
Yeah, whatever. That was also on the road. Now, I'm not sure. You know, road trips are tough. I don't know if Seattle to Pullman or Seattle to New Jersey, which trip is further? But they're both road games, right? I'm going to put them in the same category, and I think Rutgers is going to win this one. Maybe is Rutgers a little closer than Pullman? I'm not sure. It's in the same range. But no, dude, like 3 times I was like flying all the way to freaking New Jersey.
Yep.
Yeah, give me Rutgers on this one.
Yep. And it's a Friday night game. You know, it's a what did we learn about Friday night road games in the Pac-12?
Yeah, they blow.
Yeah, and the road team.
The road team was always
road team
awful.
Almost always loses.
They were awful, yes, all the freaking time. Yeah. And they would put like.
And
yeah,
those were within the same time zone mostly.
Oh, and Rich said that was in Seattle. That's true. It didn't work for my joke though, Rich. Sorry.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah. Now, I know, for Oregon played at in Corvallis, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, Rich, I know it's Lumen. I'm sorry. Okay. Just go with my bit, will you? Okay, next up, this is a Saturday morning. We start some games.
Minnesota Golden Gophers.
That's such a good one. And then we've got hosting for the fifth game in a row, home game.
Michigan Wolverines.
Wow. Scratch, 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 scratch.
9 a.m. on Big Fox. Minnesota traveling to Michigan, another home game for Michigan. Michigan's now number 12 in the country. Minnesota's now 2-2. Michigan's 3-1. Michigan is a 9.5-point favorite. All right, let's look. Let's kind of Let's just take a longer look at Minnesota.
Okay.
They have lost to North Carolina.
Yeah,
at
that
home.
Was a heartbreaker. One.
They did
yeah.
that. What did North Carolina do last week? Are you familiar?
So there is a something called James Madison.
It's, I think, the fourth president of the United States rose from the grave and did what to North Carolina?
Yeah, just put up 53 points in the first half.
Like, yeah, baby. 70, they covered the 70 over, total.
They covered the over themselves. In two quarters.
And what did Minnesota do against them? They scored how many points? Not 7D. It was 17.
Yeah.
Got it. And then against Iowa last week, they scored 14 points. So what they did in between that was they shut out Rhode Island and they shut out Nevada. I think this Minnesota team is capable of beating a bad team, but Michigan is not a bad team. They're a flawed team. They don't have a passing game. But they took on a much, I would say, more well-rounded USC team last week and beat them at home. Maybe a little bit, you know, but it was a dominant first half. I think with Minnesota's inability to kind of make big plays in the passing game and consistently work it downfield in that way, I think Michigan could just shut their water off. On the other hand, I think Minnesota's defense is good enough that I don't think it's going to be a romp for Michigan. But I like them 23-10, yeah. Something like that. So I'm taking Michigan minus 9.5.
I'm going to, God, I hate when we agree because it's just like, oh, just pick the other thing and it would be better. But yeah, I mean, seeing this team up close, and I'm curious because Minnesota does have now some tape on Alex Orji, who literally.
They've got an orgy on tape.
I mean, I feel like you and I could try to throw left-handed and be better than what it was amazing. It's just like you can't be this good of an athlete. Like if the guy had never golfed before, I figure you could give him a few lessons and he'd be good. Like he's like this ridiculous athlete. Like you have to I'm not putting a lot of this on the kid. Like at the coaching, if you can't figure out ways to get this guy to throw the ball to your own team and move the ball down the field, like you've had – I think he's played in 12 or 13 games. Like, you've got to figure out a way to do this. And I put this more in the coaching than the kid. But they broke some really explosive runs. I thought USC's defense played really well. Like, I think Lincoln Riley said, like, 95% of the run plays they stuffed. But the ones they didn't went for big plays. I feel like they're going to have more success. I think Orji will have actually success running the football, too, where he didn't have much of that against USC. So I like Michigan, too, like, by 14 or something like that. So we'll see. You know, it's a not an easy place to play. Maybe there's a little hangover effect from, you know, the big win this past weekend. But Minnesota just hasn't been all that impressive to me. I don't think this is a situation where they're going to go in and be, you know, this. You're playing better athletes all over the place on the road. I think it's just going to be a tough spot for Minnesota.
Do we know how Mullings pronounces his first name?
Is it Khalil, I thought?
Is it Khalil or is it Kal-El? Like, is he going for Superman or is he going for Khalil?
I've only heard Khalil, but okay. I don't know. I haven't talked to him personally, yeah.
We got to figure that out. Michigan fan, can you let us know in the comments if that is Kal-El? Because if not, he should be, and his nickname should be Superman.
Yeah.
Right?
Kryptonite. We love it. Okay. Another 9 a.m. game. This one has us baffled a little bit. We got
Maryland Terrapins.
Snap, 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 snap.
One of the better ones. And we have
Indiana Hoosiers.
Hey, folks. I'm from Indiana.
9 a.m. on the Big Ten Network. I wish this was more of a national game because I think it's going to be really, really interesting. Maryland 3-1, traveling to Indiana 4-0. Indiana's a 7-point home favorite. I asked Ryan when I was writing the lines into this document several weeks ago, because that's how early we prepare for this show.
Not 5 minutes before.
No, definitely not. Which one of these lines stands out as kind of just weird, baffling? And this was the one. So start with Maryland. Billy Edwards has, I think, been sneaky good this year. And I think Maryland has been just kind of a solid team. There was the one weird home loss to Michigan State. Not super consistent in game. Like, they've had some, you know, weird starts. I think particularly against Virginia, it was kind of a weird slow start, and then they got it going in the second half. But they've been pretty decent. Indiana has been a monster. They have murdered teams. Kurt Cignetti is a killer. He's going to be tried in several states for serial killing. I just think it's a different thing going on in Indiana that I've said this a few times over the years, and I've mostly been wrong, but this time I'm right. I don't think odds makers have caught up with Indiana being coached by an absolute murderer.
Yeah.
And so I'm taking Indiana to once again win a game by, like, I don't know, multiple scores.
Yes.
I don't know how many, but multiple. And I don't think Maryland's bad. I just think they're running into a buzzsaw.
No, I agree with you. We had a comment in the chat from Mark. Indiana still being unranked while the Aggies are number 24 is a crime against humanity. Yes. Well, we're going to use this to make money that they're not getting the national attention they deserve. I mean, can you imagine that he leaves James Madison, takes a bunch of their best players, coaches, comes to Indiana, like, we just were impressed.
And they basically look like James Madison from last year, but better.
Yeah.
And the thing is, okay.
And even when he left there, put 70 points up. His leftovers put 70 points up on North Carolina.
I mean, have they played anybody good? No.
UCLA, though.
But they're murdering every team they're playing. Like, it's the same theory. I mean, I don't think they're Ohio State, but it's the same theory you use when looking at Ohio State. You've got track record, which is why you rank them high, but then they blow out a bunch of shitty teams and you say, oh, they're really good. Well, Indiana doesn't have the track record because, you know, Tom Allen was their coach last year. Not Tim Allen, not Tom Arnold, but Tom Allen.
Tom Allen, yeah.
Then they went 3-9. But this guy comes in and he's doing what Ohio State would be doing to these teams. Like, that's what's happening in these games. And so I think we just trust what our eyes are telling us, not what past performance would indicate. And what my eyes tell me is that Indiana's a killer this year.
I think Maryland put up a shit ton of points on Indiana last year, if I remember correctly. Because we were covering the Big Ten last year, weren't we?
Yeah, very famously. Famously, I watched a lot of Big Ten games and certainly didn't hate every time they came on my television. Trust me.
Yeah, we're both high on Indiana, which probably means Maryland's going to go in there and play really well. But this just seems like a whole different team. They won three freaking games last year, and I think they're going to cruise in this one. So I could be wrong for sure, but let's go with that. Okay. Next up, we have
Nebraska Cornhuskers.
I'm peeling corn.
And they're going not just to Lafayette, but to West Lafayette to play
Purdue Boilermakers.
This ain't East Lafayette. It's not North Lafayette. It's not South Lafayette. It's not even Northwest Lafayette. This is West Lafayette.
Yeah.
And you don't just come into West Lafayette. And actually, you kind of do. 9 a.m. on Peacock. Nebraska's 3-1. Purdue's 1-2. Nebraska's a 10-point road favorite. Them losing a close game to Illinois, I mean, clearly they still have the curse hanging over their heads where they can't win close games. But this one's not going to be
close. No, it's not going to be close.
So I don't think they have to worry about that. They don't have to worry about, okay, end game situation, overtime, like that sort of stuff. Matt Rhule can comfortably just win this, you know, by a few touchdowns and then not have to worry about that. I still think Nebraska's really good. I think our eval of them was still solid. I think Illinois came in there last week, and they're a really solid team too, and played a better game. But I don't think that takes that much away from Nebraska. I think Illinois is, again, just a much improved Illinois from last year. So Purdue, on the other hand, looks bad. They just lost, you know, pretty handily to Oregon State on the road. 2 weeks ago, they got blown out at home by Notre Dame. I don't think Nebraska, I mean, Nebraska is not quite Notre Dame, but I don't think they're that many rungs below them on the totem this year.
Yeah.
So I think Nebraska can win this by a couple of touchdowns. So give me the Huskers.
Yeah. Last week, I mean, we saw 2 weeks ago, we saw Oregon State just get pumped by Oregon, an Oregon team that wasn't playing that well. Purdue goes in there and it was not pretty. I don't think this is going to be pretty. Like, just watch.
First road game for Nebraska. I will say that.
It is first road game. You know, that it was a disappointing loss, but like you said, I don't think this one's going to be close. 10 points is a lot, but I don't think it's enough for what Nebraska can do to Purdue. I just don't think Purdue's very good. What do the kids say? Down bad or something?
What's they're down
the,
bad.
Down bad. They're down bad. It's a down bad team. Yep. So I'm going to roll with Nebraska on this one and go with that. Okay. Next, we got
Wisconsin Badgers.
They're on the road taking on
USC Trojans.
This should be fun. 12:30 on CBS. 2-1 Wisconsin traveling to number 13 USC. They're also 2-1. USC is a 15.5 point home favorite. Wisconsin, the one loss was a 32-point home loss to Alabama. Most notably in that game, Wisconsin lost its quarterback, Tyler Van Dyke, who is now out for the season. If you watched the backup, he didn't look too great in that game. Now, I'm going to say it's been 2 weeks since that game.
Yeah, they had a bye.
Maybe he's gotten a little bit more comfortable. Maybe they're going to look a little bit better. But Tyler Van Dyke won that job for a reason. They brought him in for a reason. So I'm going to guess quarterback performance is going to take a pretty big hit. And I didn't think Van Dyke was even that good so far this year. So that's an issue. USC, as we talked about, they lost Bear Alexander. How much of a factor that is, I think, can be summed up in Lincoln Riley trying to justify there not being an issue because he played as many as a third of the snaps against Michigan. Not a huge factor so far this year. So I don't know how much of a hit that is. I would just a little bit of a letdown spot maybe for USC where they're feeling a little bit down in the dumps. But I still think Danton Lynn's a pretty good coach on the defensive side. And I think usually when you're seeing USC letdowns, it's usually on that side of the ball. And I don't know that that's going to happen. So I'm not confident Wisconsin can score enough to cover this. I don't think USC is going to completely blow them away, but I could see, like, I don't know, 31-13. So give me USC.
Yeah, I was with 14. I liked USC, but I'm going to stick with USC on this pick. But I feel like the defense traveled, like they've been good in every game they've played. It's been the offense really that's had problems. That Michigan defensive front gave them fits. In the first half, they figured some things out in the second half and bounced back. I feel like Lincoln Riley didn't call a good game. I think they're going to come out and score a bunch of points on Wisconsin. And I've been sort of down on this team thinking they weren't going to be that good. Someone in the chat was saying that it looks like they don't have an identity. He said Wisconsin, so that's from Mark. I put that up earlier. And I kind of feel that way. This will be the third game in a row USC's played the backup quarterback. Alex Orji last week, where that was by design, that was a benching. But then against Utah State, you know, the pig farmer came in. So it's a three straight backup quarterbacks for USC. But I feel like, you know, get home, get things right. I think a lot of things sort of went wrong for them, in Ann Arbor, and I think it'll go right in the Coliseum. If not, I mean, I don't think this is a very good Wisconsin team. If USC struggles in this one, I think there's some much bigger concerns going around. But that defense has been good, and literally outside of three plays against Michigan, they played really well. I mean, five straight drives to start the second half, three plays or less. So, I mean, it was pretty impressive what they were able to do. Michigan had explosive runs. Wisconsin's not like an explosive run generating kind of offense. They have a good slot receiver. But I mean, it just doesn't seem like the firepower is going to be there. So I'll take USC minus 15 and a half.
Yep.
Next up, we've got
the Ohio State Buckeyes.
It's a double the. On the road, taking on
Michigan State Spartans.
Charge!
This one's really interesting to me. So 4 p.m. on Peacock, number 3, Ohio State traveling to Michigan State. Ohio State's 3-0, Michigan State is 3-1. Ohio State's a 23.5-point road favorite. This is Ohio State's also their first game on the road, and it's against a coach who's very familiar with Chip Kelly's offense, having gone against it many years in the Pac-12. Michigan State's played a lot of close games. Their defense has appeared pretty solid this year so far. And they played a Boston College team that looks pretty solid on the road. They've played a Maryland team that looks pretty solid on the road. Won one, lost one. But they, I would say, kind of look solid-ish. Offensively, Aiden Childs has been boom or bust, often within the same game. There will be big plays, very good plays, and then there will be crippling interceptions. Don't think you can count on them. Don't think you can count on Michigan State to score a ton of points. I'm just not sure that Ohio State's not going to shoot itself in the foot having to play a real opponent for the first time this year. So I'm taking Michigan State plus 23.5.
Okay, last week I thought Ohio State could cover 40 at home against Marshall, and they didn't. And this is on the road against a conference team. That I think can be, I don't think they can win, but I think they can be like feisty a little bit, you know. But I could also see them getting absolutely boat raced and like Ohio State not showing anything. I'm kind of torn on this one because I'm torn.
We can't agree.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Ohio State.
Because when we agree, what did we learn last week?
It was bad.
Very bad. So we need to not agree. So please take Ohio State.
I will take Ohio State. I was kind of going back and forth, so might as well just go with that. Buckeyes going and taking it to Sparty.
Totally possible. I'm banking on a little bit of the familiarity thing. I think Jonathan Smith can tip off his defensive staff to gum up the works enough that, Ohio State's still going to score 38, but maybe they win 38-21, something like that.
Matthew in the chat says, let the hate flow through you, DDW.
I hate Chip Kelly so much.
That blast came from the Death Star. That thing's operational.
Let the hate flow through you.
You got there eventually.
Yeah. Sorry. It was towards the end of the clip. But
we need just that. We need that let the hate flow through you.
Yeah, I can make a clip for that. Yeah,
we need that.
Nick in the chat said, Ryan Day beat Smith 77-31 in 2018. Yeah, that's pretty relevant.
Yeah, that's super relevant. That was back when Jonathan Smith first inherited Oregon State. I remember watching that game and saying, wow, I can't believe this Oregon State team is playing this well in a 46-point victory for Ohio State. That was the most down-bad Oregon State team in history.
Yeah. Get
out of here, Nick.
In Childs, there's so many bad plays when I watch. Maybe it's only when I watch. I'll definitely watch this one.
He's been
one
saving
now.
Up all the good ones for this one.
Okay.
Yeah.
But he makes some amazing plays, too.
Yeah.
All right.
Dude, Ohio State's defense has been a little leaky. They were a little leaky against Marshall.
Yeah. I'm wondering if it sort of was like the preseason and you're just like,
no. It totally could be.
And now you're like, all right, now we got to like turn on the juice.
Yep.
Here's the featured game of the weekend. We've got
Illinois fighting Illini.
Hi, I'm from Illinois.
So in the last Oh, go ahead.
Can I finish?
Yeah, yeah, please. Please finish.
On the road, Happy Valley, taking on
Penn State Nittany Lions.
Rawr.
So this one's weird because when I wrote these in not an hour ago, Illinois was only an 18-point dog. Now they're a 19.5-point dog. So I wonder if something happened. I'm not seeing anything. 4:30 p.m. on NBC. Number 19, Illinois, 4-0, traveling to number 9, Penn State, 3-0. Penn State is a 19.5-point favorite. Illinois has been super competent this year. Luke Altmyer has not thrown an interception this season after throwing 10 last year. Now, maybe he regresses to the mean a little bit there, or maybe he's in a better offense with better weapons around him and is better able to make effective plays this season. Who knows? But his decision making was really good against Nebraska. I was really, really impressed by him. He's clearly got that. I mean, I think he's technically a junior, but he's a fourth year quarterback. I think he's got that fourth year quarterback feel to him where he's not going to make critical mistakes that beat you. Now, Penn State could force them into a bunch of three and outs, could force them into a bunch of stalled drives that are not for the fault of the quarterback making a bad decision. Like, they've got a really damn good defense. But teams have been able to score a little bit on Penn State this year. Bowling Green was able to do it. Illinois, you know, we doubted them last week against Nebraska, and we came away hurting from that. This is a lot more points. I think Penn State's really good. I think people are maybe overselling the Bowling Green game, but I'm still taking Illinois plus 19.5.
Yeah, that's a lot of points with a team that you think is going to play pretty well with Luke Altmyer and just well-coached. Great defense. Brett Bielema does an amazing job there. Like, you feel like they could keep him into the game. What's going to happen? Like, if they're not covering, it's like sort of the blitzkrieg thing, and you just sort of like things fall apart. You turn it over on the first drive. You like take the ball to start, and you turn it over, and Penn State, you know, runs it in for a touchdown or something, and you're sort of behind right from the beginning, and you never can kind of climb out of that. But I feel like if you're able to come out and there's some jabbing back and forth to start the game. Yeah. You like Illinois' chances to keep it like, okay, maybe Penn State wins by 10 or something, but you sort of keep it close. And there was this drive. They could have cut it to one score, but it didn't. That kind of thing.
Juicy, moist points.
There's a lot of
I got to address Nick because he keeps touting this 2018 game as some kind of relevant data point. He says 2018 was the worst Ohio State defense in history, to be fair. First, it was a top 40 defense. So that's definitely not the worst Ohio State defense in history. They were top 40 in points per drive allowed. That was the third worst college football team that year, Oregon State. They were the third worst team in the country. They were terrible. Jonathan Smith went 2-10 that year. It was his first year inheriting the job. They were awful. I mean, them scoring 31 points on your Ohio State Buckeyes was, I mean, kind of impressive, but also not relevant at all to what we're talking about here. Let's keep our eye on the ball.
Seems very relevant.
Let's do it.
Mark has a really excellent point, and you can use these kind of takes and when you make your bets over at MyBookie. Penn State hasn't had a lot of success against orange uniform teams this year. Take Illinois in the points. Very smart. I mean, it's hard to beat that kind of analysis. I love it.
Love it.
That's what you get here in the POC.
Hell yeah.
You know, and I said this was the featured game. Maybe this is the featured game. I'm not sure. We've got
Oregon Ducks.
Going to the Rose Bowl. Not for a bowl game, but you got to take on
UCLA Bruins.
Wow.
No, they're playing UCLA, so it's definitely not a bowl game in the Rose Bowl. this is taking place at 8 p.m. on Fox, Big Fox, National Fox. So, once again, UCLA gets to see itself on national television.
Isn't that good?
It's lovely. Number
all the
eight
donors get to see it. Uh-huh. Like, yeah.
Number eight, Oregon, 3-0, traveling to UCLA, 1-2. Oregon is a 25.5-point road favorite at the Rose Bowl. This is the biggest spread I can remember for a UCLA home game with UCLA being the dogs. Oklahoma 2019, I believe that finished at about 23 points. Oklahoma covered. But this has got to be – it's got to be close. I don't know if somebody has a way to look back, but even though we were talking about this pre-show, even those USC teams that Pete Carroll had were not favored like that at the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
And justifiably, most of the games at the Rose Bowl were,
they were closer,
relatively
yeah.
close. So that's bad. We don't like it. All right, so here's the deal with Oregon. Oregon, you were a little disappointed with the first game, game and a half. They made a change on the offensive line in the middle of game two against Boise State, where they took their right guard, who had practiced all offseason as the center, and said, hey, you know what we did with you all offseason where we practiced you at center? Maybe you should actually play that position. Demoted the guy who was playing center to not playing at all anymore. Moved the left guard to the right guard, brought in a new left guard, and since then they've been gangbusters. The lesson there, as always, is coaches are stupid. There were some injuries as well that infected things, and also they were expecting to get a guard back this week who's not going to be back. But since they found some continuity on their offensive line anyway, you almost don't want to introduce a new element, even if he was intended to be a starter this year, because as we just learned, coaches are stupid. Maybe he was intended to be a starter for some reason that doesn't actually matter. The point is, they blew out Oregon State.
You have a point?
The last time they played.
Okay.
And their offensive line looked good doing it. They protected Dylan Gabriel well for the first time. Apparently, the new center is not very good at snaps, but that has not been apparent in games yet. That's just a practice note. So that's Oregon. Defensively, they've been fine. They haven't been maybe the elite unit people were expecting them to be, but they've been fine. UCLA. UCLA is a school located in Los Angeles, as
I'm aware of
as
that now.
Deshaun Foster pointed out. A lot of nice kids on the team, I think.
Seem like
talking to them, they're all great
Ethan
people.
Garber's
I
kid.
Love talking to them. I think they're
his
all
brother Chase was
really
awesome,
nice,
to watch.
Really thoughtful guys. They're not very good at football, this UCLA team.
Oh.
They're not good at coaching it.
Are they going to go pro in something other than sports?
Potentially.
Okay.
I'm saying this. The talent isn't horrible. They've got some pieces. It's just kind of mismatched. They don't have great talent on the offensive line. They don't have great talent at edge. They don't have great talent at cornerback. These are all problems against Oregon. So UCLA can't rush the passer. They don't have good edge rushers, and they haven't been effective blitzing in the last two games. Oregon is happy to be efficient going down the field. Dylan Gabriel is completing 84% of his passes. I'm not misspeaking, 84%.
Yeah, better than Bo Nix.
So ideally, what I would like UCLA to do is back off, drop 7 or 8 into coverage, and just play coverage and bend but don't break and just make teams march down the field. However, Oregon is very comfortable doing that. They're very comfortable just taking 6-7 right. yards and just marching down the field. So not ideal, but I still think that's the only way UCLA is going to win any games this year. So they should probably start practicing now, even in this game that they're not going to win. On the other side, UCLA's offense has been a disaster, and I don't see any reason why that's going to change significantly in this game. I think LSU's defense was very bad. I don't think any part of Oregon is very bad, so I don't think there's anything for UCLA to really take advantage of. So give me Oregon -25.5 points.
Oregon. Wow. Interesting. We had a comment in the chat. Mark, latest game at the Rose Bowl for UCLA since 1990, at least that's what I heard. Yeah, late game in the Rose Bowl. This is a lot of points, David.
I'm aware.
I'm not sure.
How many did they lose by to Indiana?
I mean, that's a conference game. Like, Oregon's a Pac-12 team. Oh, wait, they're in the same conference. isn't that weird? They're in the same conference?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, that wasn't pretty. But they were. It was 17-17.
Which defense do you think is better, LSU or Oregon?
I think Oregon's better.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay. But Ethan Garber's, I read Bill Plaschke talk about.
How's UCLA's defense done against efficient quarterbacks the last couple of weeks? How'd they do against Garrett Nussmeier and Curtis Rourke?
In the first half, not bad. Not against Rourke, no. That wasn't good.
Not good against either one.
Yeah, but these are the okay. You're underestimating this UCLA offense. Did you know the offensive coordinator won a freaking Super Bowl and was like the mastermind behind Patrick Mahomes and his like all those commercials that Patrick Mahomes does? I think it's Eric Bieniemy. It's right behind him. I think that's the reason why.
Do you know Ethan Garbers is related to Chase Garbers?
Yeah, and we loved Chase Garbers. He was like the whole Cal offense for a while, right, or something? Is that?
Yeah. Do you know Deshaun Foster was a really good running back at UCLA?
Oh, my God. He was great.
There should be a running game, right? Because he was a really good running back.
Yes. I'm assuming there is one. I'm not going to look it up, but I'm assuming there's a great running game. You got to make these assumptions for some of these things. Yeah, that's a lot of points.
Well, actually, it's great because it's the real master of fourth down. You know, Dan Lanning, who I love for his fourth down decision making, because it's all good math.
Yeah.
And it just never works properly versus the worst fourth down decision maker I can remember since Carl Durrell at UCLA so far. The year is young.
Yeah. I think it's one of those things where you just got to go with your gut. And my gut is saying the Bruins going to rise up.
Are they going to win? Are you taking them out, right?
They're going to win, but they're going to cover.
They're
going
to rise up to lose by 3 touchdowns.
Okay. The piano on the head. I love your piano on the head theory. I think Dan Lanning has to buy some insurance because he's had many pianos fall on his head.
No. He's never had a piano fall on his head.
Really?
It's all been good decision making, just bad execution.
Bad execution. Okay. And I think Foster's just too new to have. He doesn't know. He couldn't. He's not in the position to have a piano fall on his head because he's just too new. Doesn't know what's going on.
Got it.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Because you have no expectations. So,
yes.
Yeah. He's already won with the piano, according to some.
Yeah. Give me the Bruins and 25.5 points. I got to take, I was getting all favorites for a while. I'm like, okay, the last couple, I'm going to take the underdogs.
These are dry points. These are not moist points. These are extremely dry points. These are, you know, they've been seasoned under a saddle for many, many, many months.
Kyle says a lot of moist points this weekend. I feel like I should change some of my other picks, but man, the moist points. I love it.
So many moist points.
Moisting it up. Okay, why don't we do this? Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and do questions. Back in a minute, everyone. All righty, we're back here on the Podcast of Champions. Of course, talking all things Big Ten football. Previewed all the games for week 5, 8 games in the conference. We have bye weeks for Iowa. Oh, wait, we can play it.
Iowa Hawkeyes.
That one's always so gets you fired up. And a bye for
Northwestern Wildcats.
All right. So good.
I love them all.
Shout out to Shane's wife.
Yes.
Freaking awesome. Okay. We don't have any voicemails. You read all the reviews. I think we need some email questions.
We do. Do we have any?
Yeah. We have a text message to start, and it says, Dave, what is it like to be a fan of a basketball school? On another note, my text from before was referring to Ohio State football. I watched their week 1 game out of desperation to watch football. The announcer said that Ohio State hadn't lost to a team from Ohio since 1897. That blew my mind until I looked up their schedule. And they have only played Cincinnati 6 times since before World War II, and it's all been at home. Pretty pathetic coming from a team that gets pissed if you don't say the Ohio State.
Mm. Well, as a lifelong Indiana fan, I will say, you know, there's part of me that obviously considers it a basketball school, but I think with what we've got now with Kurt Cignetti, what we've got now with Curtis Rourke, Elijah Surratt, I mean, these playmakers, it's things we haven't seen in a Hoosier uniform in many, many, many years. So I would say the tide's turning. I think there's a good chance that we end up being considered a football school before too much time has passed.
Yeah, that was a good point. Yeah, go Hoosiers.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Well, I don't. I'm not going to look up Ohio State's historical schedule, so I'll take your word for it.
I think he. So he had written. Oh.
He is the one who we thought it was. He was referring to basketball for some reason, but then apparently he's not.
Right. Okay. This was football. Okay.
Yeah.
He just was. The joke was he got a joke for you and then was bringing up the Ohio State thing.
I liked the joke better.
Ryan Day beat Cincinnati 42-0 in 2019, Nick says in the chat.
Hmm.
The basketball school. See, no, you didn't threaten to jump through and hurt him.
No, I mean, it's a completely valid representation for Indiana, but I just wanted him to know that with the success we're having on the field this year, my Indiana Hoosiers. Sorry, I just, when I get excited, I talk about them with the we, because I just, you know, I feel like my fandom so deeply. It's been many years. I mean, as you know, I've often talked about my Hoosier fandom being a big Indiana guy. So, you know, it's just, it's, yeah, I understand it, but. Potentially a football school. They might go 11-1, my guys, this
year.
They
could. Mark says, Ohio State played Cincinnati in Paul Brown Stadium, Bengals Stadium, in 2002. Playing at Cincy is like SC playing at San Diego State.
Mm.
UCLA's played at San Diego State, I think, right?
I don't know. This feels like a very odd critique. Like, what Ohio teams were you expecting to beat Ohio State?
Yeah. I don't know.
Like, Cincy? Regularly? No. That's not going to happen.
Miami of Ohio?
Yeah, like Akron?
Toledo?
Xavier doesn't have a football team.
Toledo?
Yeah, Toledo.
I mean, those are feisty like MAC teams, but
they're not going to beat Ohio State.
Yeah.
I don't know. Are you expecting Ohio State to travel into Toledo and play Toledo on the road? That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Come on. All right. This is from Garrett in Orange. Chip Kelly and Clay Helton. Hi, Ryan and Dave. One. Dave, putting away your absolute hatred and disgust for the once famed head coach Chip Kelly, does the outlook of the season change if he doesn't take the job at Ohio State? How much of the blame is put on his lack of recruiting versus the game prep, development, offensive play calling? Kelly was certainly underperforming at UCLA. However, he would occasionally squeak out a big win here and there. What's the win-loss if Kelly is still the head coach?
I like this question.
It's a good question. So the thing is, you cannot assume that the roster would look the same if Chip Kelly had been retained. A lot of guys were thinking about leaving. Several had put their names in the portal and might have departed if Chip Kelly had come back. I don't think you can count that this roster would have looked exactly the same. But let's just say, you know, it looks more or less the same. They don't beat Indiana. They probably beat Hawaii a little bit more comfortably and probably lose to LSU too. So I don't think the record would be different. I think they would look a little bit better because they would be in the whatever seventh year of that offensive system. I don't think the learning curve would have been as great for them offensively. So they'd look better offensively. Maybe even they squeak one out against LSU. I don't know, but I don't think so. I think they still would have lost that one. Definitely would have lost to Indiana the way they're currently operating. And probably beat Hawaii comfortably. I think the outlook for the season would be more like, you know, probably beat Minnesota, probably still alive. And, you know, the next three after that, probably don't win them all, but alive. You know, I think people would still be like trying to squint and see a bowl game at this point. I don't think there's anybody who's squinting to see anything besides, you know, at best 3-9 at this point. But the issue with Chip Kelly, and I'll just say this for new listeners, not putting it too broadly, he was non-viable as the head coach going forward because he doesn't recruit and he wasn't doing any NIL outreach. So high school recruiting was completely in the tank and they weren't getting bodies through the portal like they were in the early part of his tenure. So the end result was going to be just this in perpetuity. Going down, and never getting any better. And it was disguised a little bit by the weakness of UCLA's schedules the last 3 years. But it was going to start tanking pretty badly very quickly. And so Deshaun Foster inherited some of that. As I've said, I think there have definitely been some failures on top of that. But, this is in large part Chip Kelly's shit pile that he provided. all right, two. I have vivid memories of you praising the name of USC's previous head coach, Clay Helton. Obviously, you were trolling, but in all seriousness, if you had to choose between Deshaun Foster and Clay Helton to take over for Chip Kelly, who do you choose and why? Thanks, guys. Love the show. Fight on. Deshaun Foster. And it's because Clay Helton's a known failure. And like, as much as it pains me to say this, you can't just one-to-one what happens at USC versus what happens at UCLA. What Clay Helton is able to do there doesn't necessarily translate to a UCLA football program that doesn't have the same apparatus that USC's does.
Being a basketball school, or is that why? Is that what we're talking about?
No.
Okay.
But doesn't quite have the same setup. You know, when you walk into the USC job, it's not quite like a turnkey operation like Oregon is, but it's much more of a turnkey operation than what UCLA is. And so I think Clay Helton, the same way he failed by the standards of USC, he would fail by the standards of UCLA. You would shave, 20% off of his wins and add him to the loss column, and then suddenly you're looking at another 500 head coach.
Yeah.
Deshaun Foster, look, at this point, does it look likely it's going to work out? No. But it's not a known failure. It's a, we'll see, and you got him for the price, the right price. So I think you'll always take that over known failure. But if you're faced with a situation where you got to make the decision between those two, something went horribly, horribly wrong in the process. And that's what happened at UCLA. They didn't fire in November. And so they were doing their process in February.
All right. Good question there. I think you're going to have to read this one. Are you going to try it?
I can do it.
This is the one you have to do in the he doth protest too much.
Oh, okay.
Accent.
Got it. Well, yeah. We'll see. All right. Ominous portents for Rutgers in the great September championship clash of the Big Ten. Hail, mighty hosts of the podcast of champions. May your words be as swift as Odin's ravens and your knowledge as deep as the fjords of old.
Good luck.
I, Davis on Thor Derkirk, come forth bearing portents as the great battle for the Big Ten September championship approaches this Friday between the clans of Rutgers and Washington, sending this missive within the spirit of our house boy celebration as I visit my nephews in Pulsmo, Little Norway, the Viking village of North America.
You're like skipping over the weird words pretty well.
I don't know, man.
No, it's good. It's like I would. That's a great way to do it.
I don't know how to pronounce Scandinavian. I have heard the bold proclamations of Sears Rinvald and Davard, where you repeatedly foresee a certain victory for Rutgers, giving Washington nary a chance or explanation. Perhaps you have already spoken of this in your sagas today, but I wish to challenge this prophecy. Rutgers may have the strength of shield and spear in their defense and run game, but their bowman gives me grave doubts. I have watched the warrior Kalikmanis, and alas, he takes the saying statue in the pocket far too literally. His attempts at deceiving the enemy with spear fakes and options are so feeble, they would not fool even my loyal battle-hardened Chihuahua. When I say literally, I speak not with the modern tongue's hyperbole, but in the truest sense from Fairland. Upon receiving the arrow from center for long shots, he takes his drop and plants his feet like roots in the earth, unmoved even by the fiercest of winds or foes. It is this very stance that has led to all the great sacks he has suffered this season. Rutgers has not yet faced the likes of Washington, whose skirmishers are most skilled in the craft of flanking the shield wall and striking the bowmen. The keepers of advanced runes rank Washington's skirmishers among the top four in all the land, despite the early season bias from lacking returning veterans, and while fighting solely against the fiercest Jarls, blessed by both Odin and Freyja with the skills of Berserker and Bowman. Have you considered how this clash of strengths might tilt in favor of the Huskies, and how this may lead to Washington's hurry focused on keeping Rutgers' spears in the box? Could Rutgers attackers face a similar fate to Northwestern and be sent to Valhalla without ever reaching Washington's treasure hoard? I predict a bloody battle, ending with a glorious 12-11 Big Ten victory for Washington, eagerly awaiting your wise words on this matter, O keepers of the college football sagas. With great respect and the thunder of Mjolnir, Dave, but you have earned the right to call me Davis Onderk, the lengthened, destroyer of abbreviations, protector of the true name of the Davekin. Nice. I would like to amend my pick. I'm taking Washington.
Hold on.
They're going to be ass.
No, I love that.
Huge ass.
That was well read, I think. Andrew says, is that Icelandic or Danish?
It's a great question.
I think you went all over.
I went Scottish. There was a lot of
Scottish.
There was an attempt at something akin to Scandinavian. It all happened. All at once.
All right. So you're taking Washington.
I'm taking
now?
Washington.
All right. I'll switch your pick.
Yep. Too good of an email.
That was a very good email. It's very hard to read. Like his name, I don't even know what the. I put it in the chat so people could see, like, this is what you're trying to read.
Davisana Thorovirk. Thorovirk? I don't know, man. I'm doing my best.
That was pretty damn good. We got one last one from our buddy West Texas Mike, who's in Las Vegas, but his name is still West Texas.
West Texas Mike, I love him, but he carries a little bit of water for your friend Lincoln Riley.
I think he does.
Yeah.
He's a USC fan. Is this David's burner account? And then this is a tweet from Alex Kirshner. Riley's adversarial approach to reporters is weird to me. He has not been done dirty over his career by any stretch. We, as an industry, have been pretty favorable to him. Also, there is a quote story there, and that they went and found a better defensive tackle out of Wyoming in the portal. I don't think he's been like adversarial. The Luka thing, that was totally mishandled. They shouldn't have done that. I thought it was, he said some weird stuff though. Like you had mentioned the untrained eye, I think a lot of times it's like defending his guys or defending the program where you're saying like, there's no story here. I don't think you want to go out and say that if you have any inkling that Bear Alexander might be off your team the next day. And that's what happened.
There's more to it. I mean, the Oklahoma stuff, he was shitty to the student newspaper. Just weird stuff that doesn't need to happen. It's clear that he has some sort of problem with like certain ways that the media does things and has made that. Because, I mean, look, if you have people constantly asking you questions and criticizing you, it is hard and people don't like it. That's
your job.
It's what the money is for, to steal a line from Mad Men. Like, you have to deal with it, and you got to take it and accept it. And Riley is a little bit of a red ass about this stuff. Like, when he gets, you know, pushed and prodded on this stuff, he gets, you know, a little bit bent out of shape, and he couches it in stuff like, oh, it's a player safety or security issue or whatever with the Luka thing, which was stupid. Like, it's a non-story. Like, it's some fluff thing that because you don't allow access to practice in any real way, they have to come up with fluff features to write about instead of actual things about your team. And the one fluffy thing that he gets from like a side conversation that was happening, you suddenly ban him from practice for? Like, yeah, whatever. Just close your shit so that nobody has to like even pretend like they're covering the team. And you can just dole out, you know, interviews like two at a time to everyone, and then they can cover it. But it's just like this middle ground where you're going to be this like, you know, mini dictator, but also like if you allow them within the walls, everything is fair game once they're in there. Cut it to 10 minutes, then it's even more fair game. Like, I go in there to UCLA, I never would have written about injuries at anywhere near the level that I do now when I had access to 2.5 hours of practice, because there's more interesting things to write about.
Yeah.
But now I've got my binoculars out and I'm staring at the injured for the entire freaking thing.
Yeah.
Because that's the only note worth writing about, because all we see is special teams.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's the same with USC. And so you're just trying to glean whatever you can, because you have to write something. You have to produce some bit of content because that's your job. And this lack of courtesy with people just doing their jobs, like they're not trying to bring down your program and not trying to, you know, shit all over you, just trying to do their jobs, making it harder for no reason because you're a little dictator is stupid, and he's stupid.
Yeah, they've made some kind of interesting choices, I would guess you could say. I think for the most part, like I talked to my friends that worked the beat in Oklahoma, and I, to be honest, like didn't hear a lot of positive things. We thought things would be closed down. I think he's grown some and has opened up things, and I think he's shown he's trying to have like a good relationship with the media, like letting us go to that scrimmage. And but some of it does feel like, hey, we're giving you a gift here. It's like, no, we're just kind of doing our job, you know? But in in general, it's been all right. But he's made some, I think he's made some missteps with some of that stuff. This whole like non-story, it's like, I would never say something like that if I knew it was a real story. And it was probably, if I knew it would never come out, maybe you say that. But it literally was coming out that later that day or the next day. I don't know how you
say something like that. The big thing to remember whenever you're feeling like you need to defend the coach of your football team or like you want to justify their policies or claim that these are overpaid PE teachers. Remember that. They are PE teachers, and this is you know, they got lucky in the game of life and ended up on a college football staff where they learned something because they're not complete idiots. And then they were able to, you know, parlay that into making millions of dollars coaching a kids game. But they're PE teachers, and it's as if you put a PE teacher in charge and told them, you know, you get to make decisions about everything now. And oftentimes those decisions are bad and they sound stupid. You know, and because they're, you know, making millions of dollars and they're in charge, they get kind of, you know, the same effect that a little mini dictator might get where they've got yes men around them who don't tell them no. And so then you end up with somebody like Lincoln Riley who, you know, maybe most of the time decent enough guy, but then he has an idea that nobody tells him, hey, like if Tim Tessalone was still there, maybe he tells him, hey, that's stupid. That's a stupid thing to do. You shouldn't do that. That's really dumb. But he doesn't have people around him who tell him, hey, that's really stupid and dumb. And so then he ends up doing stupid and dumb things.
Yeah.
So,
well, I'm very curious to see what he has to say in about half an hour.
You know, you know, Bear Alexander, was the decision made yesterday? Like, was the final decision made yesterday? Or was it, you know, starting to get rumblings the previous day? And, you know, instead of saying, hey, there's no story here, I don't know why you people are looking into it, which is basically what he said 2 days ago.
Yes.
Instead of saying that, you can just say, well, you know, got to talk to Bear. Obviously, people are, you know, obviously he's expressing some dissatisfaction. We don't want anyone to be dissatisfied. But, you know, he's playing and he's working and he's improving. Everything he said, besides, this is a non-story.
Yes.
Like, you don't know this job, Lincoln. You have no idea what's a story and what's not. You run a football team and you have a relationship with your state media, which is the USC Trojan site. But that's it. You don't know how a newspaper works. You don't know how news industry works. It's not a non-story.
Yeah.
It's a star player who was a former five-star who was number one transfer in his class that year?
Yeah, I think so.
Deciding to tweet out that he's pissed, basically. That's a story. And then the fact that he's only playing about, I don't know, 50% of the snaps that people thought he was going to be playing, that's also a story. Saying it isn't makes you sound stupid and like a dictator.
Well, again, I'm curious to see what he has to say.
Well, it's probably going to be more stupid stuff because he's stupid.
It's probably going to be more stupid.
Because nobody's telling him, hey, this is the thing you should say. You should say, hey, we wish Bear well. You know, I think he contributed a lot of time for us. We'll certainly try to persuade him to come back. But if this is his final decision, then we're going to try to help him in every way possible. And that's it. That's the only thing you say. Maybe somebody told him to do that. But if not, he'll say something stupid.
All right. I'll let you know if that's what he says. That's it. Anything else that we got to discuss?
No, I would like to go deeper on Lincoln Riley being stupid.
Okay.
Can we?
You've done a pretty good job.
Okay.
The Pac-12 news you have the Pac-12 that has seven teams. Utah State, everyone thought they would be the next team in. They're in. UNLV and Air Force are sticking with the Mountain West.
We just got some big news.
Oh, we did?
In the Super Chat.
Oh, crap. Okay.
Keon. What a man.
The buzzer.
Finally caught you guys live to throw a super chat your way. Thanks for all the laughs over the years. Here's $1 for every passing yard USC gave up in a loss.
I love this.
$32.
I love the money like tied to like stat, like the fact that we have $17 gift cards.
Why wasn't anyone giving us these super chats last year with that pass defense?
Oh, that's my God. Real question. Alex Grinch.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, thank you, Keon. That's awesome.
We could retire.
Appreciate you.
That's awesome, Keon. We really appreciate that. Thank you very much.
That is 6.4 West Texas Mikes. Is that correct?
I think you're in that range.
Yeah. Wow. Wow.
Our form of currency here on the Podcast of Champions. Oh, thanks for that. That was really nice for you to do that. And still got to do the lunch date.
Yeah, we will. We will. We're just it's in season, so we run into scheduling issues. But yeah. We will try to do that maybe next week, either Monday or Thursday. Again, I'll be mostly available.
Should we do brunch, like post-show brunch, like at 11? Like, I think, yeah.
That's not brunch time. That's lunchtime, and it's not a weekend. What are you?
Brunch is great. I love brunch.
You just want to have champagne, don't you?
I do.
No. I don't want to do that midday. I'm going to go pick up my kids after this.
What? Are you not allowed to be tipsy picking up your kids at school? Like, do they?
No.
They don't allow that?
I mean, it's not allowed. It's a society. We live in a society with rules, with obligations, with duties.
Can't they Uber?
We can't all be on vacation all the time.
Can't they Uber? Daddy needs a mimosa every once in a while.
Where's the next vacay? Where are you going this weekend?
I know USC plays Wisconsin.
Okay.
They play not them. That's it. That's I'm going this one.
Maryland Terrapins.
In like 3 weeks.
You're gonna get some crab cakes?
Yeah. My sister lives there. And then this one's this weekend. If it comes up.
You're doing so well.
Why is this not working? Yeah.
Wisconsin Badgers.
But next weekend, I'm going to, and I'm going to visit college friends that live there.
Minnesota Golden Gophers.
These aren't real vacations.
Yeah, those are like, yeah. Come I don't on, have like a vacation plan now. I'm just doing, I mean, I got work trips. Like, that's all I do. I mean, just like you,
You'll go somewhere midweek. That's going to happen.
All the games.
Yeah, you'll go to like a midweek Vegas. That's going to happen.
That would be fun. Maybe the bye week
or
something. I go out to the desert. I love going out to the desert. But it was so hot out there this time. All right. Well, that's going to wrap things up. What's our pose this week? What do you want to do? Like point at each other? Like,
should we do our bear pose?
Oh, bear.
Bear.
Perfect. Bear pose. Well, that's David Woods. I'm Ryan Abraham. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. And we will talk to you next time.
Goodbye.